Well, good day to you. It's Joel with For King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Let's do it. All right, yo, what's up? It's your boy, D. Starks.
Starks the Artist.
You're now tuned in to Just Different Podcast, where we talk everything faith, life, and culture. We're back again. And today, we really wanted to just talk about the Bible study that we actually had last night. So we recently just started this Bible study with two really close friends of ours that we're doing every Thursday. And a lot of what we went through has been really centered around even a few thoughts that I've been having. And we went through the story of Daniel in Babylon. So some of you may be familiar, but this is when, during this time, the king of Babylon essentially chose young men to come, and he wanted to show or at least test their aptitude when it came to their learning, their understanding, and their qualified, they're just wanting to see if they were qualified to be in the king's palace. And so he assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table that he wanted them to eat. And the story goes that Daniel essentially said that he did not want to be defiled by the royal food and wine, and asked one of the officials if he could have permission to not defile himself and choose a different diet than what the king was suggesting. And so that's where we went through. And this is in Daniel chapter 1. So a lot of this really stemmed the thought that God can do more with less. And essentially what came to my mind as I was going through this story, which I haven't gone back through for a long period of time, is the fact that you don't have to make your name known. God will do that for you. You don't have to overwork, overextend yourself and your activity and your grind or your process to essentially make your name great and or elevate you to the next level or get you to where you know you want to go, because that's God's job. Mm. You know, in different prophecies that you'll hear throughout the Bible, and maybe you've heard just other people receive, something that I've been noticing and paying a lot of attention to is the fact that God will say, I will make you.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he's the one that does the making and the pruning and the elevation. We're the ones that essentially are just really supposed to be focused on our obedience. And that's something that Jordan brings up a lot.
Yeah.
And this idea really showed up in chapter 1 of Daniel in verse 8, and it says, but Daniel resolved in his heart not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission to not defile himself in this way. Then verse 9 says, now God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. And so I just found that interesting, that as soon as Daniel had proposed and made a commitment to his obedience in his heart, then it's God that caused favor to happen on his behalf.
Oh, let me interject. I got one more thing I want to add.
Because
it's like not only did he have that moment where he resolved it in his heart, but it also moved him to action, which I think there was two steps before God really came into the picture, right? Because it says he resolved in his heart not to defile himself, and then he proposed to the official, right? So that was the action. Like, you know what? I made this decision. I'm not going to do this. Now let me... You know what, maybe, and then he proposed, right? And I think that's the two steps. It's like you make that decision and you do it, and then, you know, God will add that favor onto you. So I also wanted to add that too, because I think I noticed that specifically, the two specific steps that he, I guess, went through before God really interjected and put his, you know, supernatural on the situation.
I definitely think that there's a conviction that comes with true obedience. You may have those moments for yourself where you're in church or you're hearing a word or a specific sermon that literally causes you to say, I am not going to walk out of here the same way that I came in.
Yeah.
And that's what that type of commitment was when you see this within the context of this verse and this particular story. Is no, like, I have, like, proposed in my heart, that it says in KJV, that I love that phrase. This was a true just decision and promise that he was really making to God, that he was not going to go back on. And because of this, there was rewards on behalf of his faithfulness. And So I thought that the first part of that, just getting into those two verses, was really this idea of God will make you great. He will do the work on your behalf as long as you just stay committed.
And also, the next thing that I really noticed is literally what comes right after that. There's so many gems in this, and even looking and reading through it before this again, after the Bible study, I'm noticing so many different things. But the next thing that happened is the official interjects, right, in verse 10, and he says, "I'm afraid of my Lord the King, who has assigned you these things that you're telling me that you're not going to eat. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would then have my head because of you," right? So it's kind of like this dynamic where you see Daniel having this fear of God, right? Making this commitment not to defile himself in this way. And then the official responds to Daniel's fear of God, right? And making that commitment, and he's voicing his fear of the king, his fear of man. I get you fear God and all that, and you're making a decision, but hey, I fear the king, bro. Like, he's gonna have my head. What are you talking about? And I think Daniel's response is so interesting to me, because his next response is, so he says in verse 12, actually, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink, and then compare us after the case to see, you know, the results of what's happening." So he has this fear of God in his heart. He makes this decision, this commitment. The official responds. He says, "Yo, I fear the king." Daniel responds, "Well, just test and see." Mm-hmm. Which is such a fire response to me. And it reminds me of the verse I actually said in the Bible study. I don't remember where it's at, but it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And it's this same type of dynamic that Daniel's coming with. Like, he's fully understanding to his response. He says, I get your fear. I get your hesitance. But, hey, I have such confidence that God is going to make me. Like you're saying, it's always God says, I will make. Like, I have such confidence. Like, yo, just test. Like, test it. I get it. But test it. And I promise. And one of our friends on the Bible study pointed out the 10 days, which I didn't, you know, give too much attention to. But even is that a word? let's act like it's a word. Even the specificity of
specificity is crazy.
I'm saying it wrong.
This is specific.
There's a way to say it though. There's a different variation of the word. But yes, the specifics of the fact that it's 10 days is like that even took so much courage. You know what I'm saying? You're gonna eat vegetables and water for 10 days, and there's gonna be a significant difference. Mm-hmm. 10 days. Maybe some months. You know what I mean? I would have gave him 10 days. Like, even that took such courage and confidence in God, like God making, right? God making a name for them, not themselves doing anything. So that was the other thing I noticed that was really cool. The tests, test and see, bro. So give it 10 days and it's going to show itself. God's going to show up. So I think that's also important. It's just having that confidence. That confidence effect that God will do it.
And I had mentioned whenever we were in the Bible study that I had recently just had a conversation with someone just randomly at a store that I was at, and they were just talking to me about, you know, their life and their journey and how, you know, when they were younger, they had just went through a lot. They were like bullied as a child, maybe didn't have like that love at home, and just had moments where, you know, they didn't want to like exist or even be here. And I was just, you know, listening to them and asking them, you know, well, where are you at now? What does that look like? And they're like, yo, I'm leaps and bounds from where I was. Mm-hmm. And then the conversation progressed, and somehow we were speaking about faith. And I asked them where they were at with that when it came to their relationship with God. And they were like, mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, recently I've really been just getting more intentional with that and trying to figure out what that looks like for me. And then I asked them what prompted that. And where did that start? And they said something that I mentioned to them that was so simple but like really profound to me. And they said, well, I heard God changes lives and I wanted to test that theory. And I don't know, it was like a pin drop whenever she said it. I like just kind of like stopped it. Yeah. It just really moved me. But just that sentiment and like this idea of unshakable faith to understand who God is, or even sometimes in our ignorance or just lack of faith, maybe not completely knowing or being sure of, but just seeing from what other people have said, from what we've read, and maybe even glimpses that we've seen in our own life, and saying, you know what? I know he will move on my behalf. Mm. I've heard that he changes situations around, and he all things work together, and I want to continue to test this. Yeah. And I want to put, I'll bet on him. And so whenever I heard that, it made me think about this situation with Daniel and how he went about it, of just being so solidified and what his commitment was and what God told him to do. And that was also rewarded with God showing up in the way that he did. And there was also another thing that kind of tied into what I mentioned at the beginning of this, when I said that God can do more with less, and the fact that he will make you. And so essentially, you know, David says, hey, I don't want to defile myself with this food and wine that the king wants to give all the young men.
Yeah.
I'd rather, you know, just be on a diet that consists of vegetables and water to drink. And then, you know, the guard eventually grants him this request. And then, you know, he also says, like, just give it 10 days. And then it says that verse 15, that at the end of the 10 days, they look healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. Yeah. And then it continues to say in verse 19 that the king talked with them and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service. And so I thought this was profound, because it just, again, to my point that God can do less with more. Sometimes we think we have to follow the culture's blueprint for what success looks like, mm-hmm. and what it has to be. And God saying that, no, if you do it my way, you won't just be healthy, but you will be healthier.
Yeah.
And there will be none like you, mm-hmm. because of the process I've taken you through and the obedience that you've committed to. And so I thought that was profound and highlighted that to me, because, you know, as someone who is a high achiever, like, sometimes I have an issue with understanding work-life balance. Mm. And for me, I've always been told, well, you know, sometimes your success has to come at the cost of your relationships, right. and you working on yourself, and has to always be focused on the grind and losing sleep and hours and time with family, et cetera. And this brought to my mind, why does it have to be that way? Mm. And who told you that?
Yeah.
And the fact that God's never going to call you away from what he really cares most about and wants you to do when it comes to your soul, when it comes to your relationships. Yeah. And so there is a way for you to be successful in every area of your life and reach the levels that you want without compromising on the process to get there.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to look the way that everyone else has said in order for you to obtain where you're trying to go, because God's going to make it happen. So that just, like, brought that to my mind. It's like, yo, at the end of these 10 days, they look healthier and better nourished. You know, like, all right, like, you would imagine if they didn't have the same meal, or when it came to the included meat and wine that the other men had, that they would have been at a deficit or operating at a deficiency. And the other men would have thought that they would have the upper hand. And it was completely opposite. And so that challenged me, my thought process of even how I think the road to success has to look like. God doesn't need all of that. You don't have to try to outwork what he said do, or try to make yourself in a way that he said he's going to mold you into. And so that was also one of the big highlights for me, just to this whole idea that God will make you. It's not something you have to do. And I'm trying to actively take that pressure off myself. I'm feeling like that.
And I think In little ways, God has shown that that's true. Times in my own personal life where I let go of certain things, really applied what God was teaching me to my life. Let go of this. You don't need to do this. This isn't necessary. And God showing up, just how he showed up for Daniel. But with that, though, I think I'm really resonating heavy with the doubters. And what I mean by that is, in this story I brought up earlier, the official, and how he doubted that, with what we're saying, that God could do more with less. Like, he questioned it. And I think there's a lot of people who are there as well. And I was there at one point, and sometimes I still am, you know. I think that's a big part of my story. I've always kind of struggled with my confidence, you know, maybe in myself and really in God, though. But I love the test and see, because that's the response to the doubter. God is faithful to allow you that space. With that being said, I was reminded of the verse in Mark 9:21. And for context, this is the instance where there's this father-son, and he keeps having these episodes where he'll like throw himself into the fire, into the water. And I'm picking up on verse 21 where Jesus says, it says, he asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? He says, from childhood, he answered. It has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And then Jesus responds, if you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for one who believes. Right. So that's that confidence, that unshakable confidence is what I'm getting from that response. But then in verse 24, it says, immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. And then in the very next verse, Jesus' response to what this man says, he says, okay, when Jesus saw the crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit, you deaf and mute spirit. He said, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. So that's so interesting to me, because he's like, I believe, but help my unbelief. And then Jesus responds by casting that demon out. And that's also what I see in this, the same type of concept in Daniel, where you have the test and see. And like I said, God is faithful to allow you that, like I believe, but there's a part of me, it's just like, ah, you know, the confidence isn't where it could be. And God's faithful to say, okay, cool. Watch me. Just like this father, where he's like, if I can, what do you mean if I can? Mm-hmm. Everything's possible if you believe. The father's honest, like, I believe, but there's a part of me that doesn't. And then God, and then Jesus is like, okay, cool, I got you. After this, I'm gonna show you, right? And you're gonna see for yourself, and that's gonna be your confidence from this point forward. So I think, I don't know why that's standing out so much to me in the story. Like I said, maybe it's just because I feel like, you know, I resonate with it based on, you know, my own confidence and stuff that I've walked through. But for the doubter, it's like, brother, test and see is such a display of God's grace, you know, where he really will allow you that space.
No, I agree. And I think even because, I mean, there can be a lot of questions when it comes to not really having that belief that your less is enough. Right. In the sense that, you know, I am really struggling with that. I think there's a lot of decisions I'm looking to make. I feel I'm in a pivotal part of my life, and there are a lot of different decisions that need to be made that are time sensitive. And from that, I've been trying to do everything in my own strength to make sure that I'm in the best position possible, that I have the security that I'm looking for, that I am going to have a solid foundation when I'm making X, Y, and Z moves. And I know I'm being pulled back from that. And it's really hard for me to believe that obedience within itself is actually enough, that it will really all work out on my behalf if I just stand still, right, and see the salvation of the Lord. And ironically, there's been moments in my life where that has been the case, and I've seen that. Mm-hmm. But you know how we get, just infallible. Facts. As humans, and so temporal and fickle. You know, my emotions are just in that position right now. And so I'm glad that you bring that up, because there can be this point of contention in this fight with ourselves of questioning, okay, like, I know that there is a part I have to play, you know, but I also don't want to overdo it.
Facts.
And overstep my realm of responsibility,
right,
into God's. And so that's something that I've been just wrestling with, in having to really surrender is my hand in where I'm trying to go. Mm. Because I was just talking to someone earlier today, and I told them that I'm definitely in an upper room type of season when it comes to, I want my answers now. And I don't do well with the in-between and uncertainty of, okay, there's a decision that needs to be made. There's clarity that I want. There's an answer that I'm looking for. And I actually have to just seek God until it comes. Like when he told the disciples to go to the upper room and wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Just wait. They didn't know exactly when it was going to come, what it was going to be, or how it was going to look, but they had to sit there and wait, pray without ceasing, and just be very persistent in that call and the obedience that they had to walk out. And that's what I know I'm being called to right now. And so it is that, just like that journey in between of continuing to say yes, even when, you know, everything in you is wanting to just make these very, like, not necessarily irrational moves, but just activity that may be outside the bounds of what God really wants you to do. Yeah. Because you're just trying to get it now. And we don't believe that, all right, really putting it in his hands is enough for him to bring it all into fruition. Mm-hmm. So I think that's definitely something to just, like, understand and just, you know, point out.
Yeah.
And just try to, like, work on and be diligent in, because it's a process.
It most definitely is, bro. But that's the 10 days, bro.
Right.
The 10 days ain't always 10 days, but the principle of the 10 days is uniform throughout, bro.
We did mention that in the Bible study too.
Throughout your life.
I'm glad you brought that up. There's a 10 days that we always go through.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that comes on the other side of our obedience to just actually say yes, commit to God. Until we see when it actually all comes into fruition and it manifests itself. And we kind of talked about that not too long ago.
Yeah.
The road or the path between the prophecy and the promise.
Exactly.
Right. Like, there's always this 10 days, right? Yeah. This metaphorical 10 days that we're talking about that we all walk through, that we go through.
Yeah.
That we have to stay diligent in, right? Like, what Daniel do? He made a commitment, and for each one of those days, like, that's what it was.
Yeah.
He didn't waver. He didn't stop. He didn't, you know, may have had some doubts or second guessed, but still continue to obey anyway.
Yeah.
And you know, he was rewarded for that faithfulness on the end of that, and what that looked like, and it was way more than what he even probably expected, or even knew.
It's crazy. Right?
Healthier. And found no one equal in comparison to them. So, yeah.
That's crazy to think about, though. I don't want to stay too long there on the 10 days thing, but that really is just a seasonal thing, bro. There's always a new 10 days. Or I guess let's look at the book or this chapter, Daniel 1, as like a template that you will always have to apply to your life. So Daniel is in a position where he has to resolve and make a decision in his heart, right? Which is something that we constantly have to do on new levels. God will give us a word. It's daunting. It's scary. We've never been. We have to make a decision in our hearts. We have to act on it like Daniel acted on it. There will be doubt like the, official doubted. And there will always be a test and see. There will always be a 10 days. And then, because God is faithful, there will always be a multiplication, just like this occurrence in Daniel. And that's what it's a repeat of that, right? Where you make that decision, you act on it. There might be doubt, but you test and see, because the Lord has been faithful. You test and see. You wait the 10 days. Then after the 10 days, you look better than everyone else. You look healthier than everyone else. You find favor in the king's eyes and the official's eyes, right? And all this is metaphorical, of course, but, you know, that's so interesting how I'm noticing that even in my own life. This is every season has been that same process of having to do those same steps. It's so interesting. But
yeah, and I heard this today. Someone was speaking to the fact that, you know, when it comes to Christianity, sometimes people aren't always exposed to the full scope of what the journey looks like and what you're going to walk through. And what he said is that, you know, Christianity basically can be summed up as you're either going to be in a trial, coming out of a trial, or going into one.
And that's so facts.
That makes so much more sense to me now.
Yeah.
And I think it really is, you know, this process of like becoming.
Yeah.
And when we say that, it's like, all right, like, what are we coming to? And that's the image of Christ. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That's what I've been realizing is a lot of the seasons and these 10 days that we go through, there's always work that happens. Like, it either this, like, oh man, how have I heard it said? They'll say that, like, the work will always work on you. You know what I mean? Like, no matter what happens or the outcome of whatever it may be, whether it be, like, very tangible that you can see it, like, there was a work that needed to be done in you. And, you know, we see that even within this context of, like, what happened to them afterwards and what took place. Like, there was a work that was being done within them. And, you know, that's something that we can never overlook or take for granted or minimize, because sometimes it's like, all right, like, the result or the reward of the season always has to be or look like these promotions or these blessings and gifts and everything else. But sometimes the reward of that season was what it did for your character. Like, you stood, or rather passed, the trial of patience and love and forgiveness and, you know, loving those who curse you and, you know, overcoming your lust and temptations. Like, they're like, the reward of this is typically what he was doing in you, right? What I, you know, bringing it full circle of, like, what he was making you. Not necessarily, you know, of course what came from it is the blessing, but it's like, all right, what happened in you, that made you look more like him. And so that also makes me think of that whenever, you know, we're talking about this and having this conversation. I think that's, it's vital.
Yeah. Do you, I was trying to make a correlation to the lion's den, but I don't remember the exact context of that. Wasn't they trying to get Daniel to worship another god and he said no and they threw him in the den? Wasn't it something like that? Do you remember?
I believe so. I feel like that's, you know, Bible school 101. No. For real.
I can't. It's, but like, I have right, no clue. I know. Right, it's now, like, right there, but I can't exactly remember, because I was going to try to say, like, it was kind of like a repeat where he had to make a decision again and then act on it, and then the 10-day, like, you know, it's like the same thing, right? But I, you know, but that's a good point though about the result of, like, what you get out of the 10 days, what happens after. Because, you know, in this story, it's, you know, favor, it's you know, an elevated position, you know, whatever the case may be. But sometimes it's just what you became, you know what I mean? Or who you're becoming. Because I think that's really so much of what life is. That's really what God's been showing me, bro. It's just becoming who he's created you to be. And I think so many people will be much more satisfied with their lives and, you know, the seasons they come out of if they just recognize that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I'm realizing. Like, I used to hear people say that, you know, it's when it comes to just success at any level or any degree in any industry, sector, et cetera, that it was always more about the person that you would become, like, your character, and you working on just the intricacies of, like, yourself and your soul, your mind, and, you know, I would hear that. I'm like, all right, that sounds, you know, good. What I mean? Like, but, like, you know, like, good. What's the sauce? Like, how am I about to get to the milli? You know what I mean? Like,
where's the money at?
Facts, facts. Like, where's my money?
Give me my money.
Give me my money. And I'm just looking at for, like, all the practical steps of, like, you know, A to Z. Like, how do I do it? Whatever. And what I'm realizing is, for you to do what it takes to be successful, you have to become the person that's even willing to do it.
Man.
And,
man, you do.
That, like, that's it. Like, it doesn't matter if you know, okay, you need to be consistent. You need to, you know, post this many times a day. You need to reach out to this many people. You need to, you know, learn this particular skill, get this certification, go to this school, et cetera, et cetera. If you aren't the person that's willing and equipped to actually even get through it, it doesn't even matter.
Right.
And so that's what I'm looking at now. And, like, okay, in the same vein, let's bring it back to just the spiritual realm. Like, it doesn't really, it means more for you to become the person that God can trust with different mantles and positions and visions, you know, rather than you having all the instructions of how to get there.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't have a character, you don't have a heart, you don't have a mind that can handle what it's going to be. And so, like, that's this pruning process of just getting you in a position to where, you know, when it does come, or when the next thing happens, like, you are very much equipped in the type of person, you have the character that can walk out what is about to happen. And so that's what I've been learning, you know. That's interesting. I guess this does remind me a lot about that. But definitely, that's the last thing.
Like, you want favor in the king's eyes without first going through the process or being the type of person that would say no to the king's rations.
Right.
One has to come before the other.
Right.
It has to. Daniel became the type of person that would decide in his heart to say no to that and not defile himself. If he didn't become that type of person, he never would have ended up, you know, where he was at the end of Daniel 1. So it's like that same type of concept. We've heard it before, but I think it's cool seeing it in this context of this moment in Daniel. But yeah, no, most definitely.
Yeah, I didn't even see it that way. But yeah, if Daniel didn't have the fortitude to even stand on business, you know what I'm saying?
It would have never.
You could have had the instruction or known that you needed to say no, refuse, and stand your ground. But if you weren't the type of person that could say no to your temptations and what seemed to be the better opportunity, then what would have it mattered
at all, bro?
What would have it come to?
Facts.
So, yeah, that's a heater. I'm not gonna lie.
Most definitely, bro.
That's different.
I'm rocking with that one.
Yes, sir. So that's it. You got anything else? I think that's the one.
That's it, man. I think post game interview. I think I left it all out there. I think I gave my heart to this game. Man.
Triple double. Yeah. So, you know, just realize that you don't have to make yourself. You don't have to make your name great. God will. It's all in the obedience, staying committed to the 10 days in terms of whatever that looks like for you, and realizing it's all about the person that you're becoming and that he wants to make you into, and he's going to be the one to do that. You don't have to overextend yourself or do what the culture says. So I was telling them, we'll talk about it more last week, about our trip to Tanzania Wednesday.
We gotta
tell them about the meeting that we got on the first meeting about, like, the actual trip.
Yo,
we had no idea what we were getting into.
We really didn't. That reminds me, I need to get my passport. But I set my appointment for a day, and then we had to do something, and I was like, crap, like, I gotta reschedule it. But anyways,
that's crazy.
Oh wait, so you got to tell him or you didn't?
I did tell him. Oh, I told him what we're doing.
That was so funny.
But we got to tell him about, like, the meeting next week though.
Oh, okay got you.
But yeah, funny. No, yeah, so y'all, we're not going to be training for that this weekend.
I got to go to Nashville.
COVID's happening Saturday.
Yeah, we'll be there too.
So there's
not this
no
weekend.
Way I'm having time. I need to actually get on that. So we'll figure it out next week. But no, y'all know what it is. Have an amazing weekend. Enjoy yourself.
Of course.
Love, live, laugh.
Come on, bro. Come on, bro.
All the things. You feel what I'm saying?
All the L's. Love, all of it.
What's the, you know the mats, like, live, love, laugh, whatever. But yeah, y'all know what it is. Stay you.
Stay real.
And stay humble. We'll catch y'all next week. Much love. Much love. Live, love.
You turn it off, Amy. That's too hard. That's comfortable. This might be interesting.